Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole sun, won't you come, won't you come, won't you come?
What's up, everybody? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
Black Hole Sun reminds me of Damnation, the art.
Yeah, actually.
That looks like it, right? Yeah.
But that or Supermassive Black Hole?
Yes.
One of the two.
Another song that we've sung on the show. We are doing Commander Legends Partners Review. This is the fourth or fifth, depending on when it comes out, episode. And today we are talking about the partners from Commander Legends in black.
That's right. We've gone through three or four of the other colors. We've still got, don't forget, all the cards that go in the 99. To go.
There's so many.
We've done the pre-con upgrade guides. We did all the solo commanders. So it's continuing coverage of the Commander Legends set. If you want to get your hands on any of these cards, and from the amount we've been talking about it, you know there are a ton of cards in Commander Legends that are just going to have an impact on the format and you're going to want to get in your decks. Go to cardkingdom.com/command zone. That's the place to go to order your Magic products. You want booster boxes or whatever. Your singles, all the singles are available now. It's not even pre-order. It's just regular ordering them. If you want to get Jeweled Lotus so you can get your commander out on turn one or two.
Go nuts.
Go nuts. cardkingdom.com/command zone is a place to go. They really are going to get you your stuff the fastest and in the best condition.
Yeah, and we're talking about like 50 to 100 cards today, and all those are probably available on cardkingdom.com/command zone too. The other way to support the show, obviously, is with Ultra Pro. Now, Card Kingdom does supply some Ultra Pro products, so if you're looking to pick up and do a couple of two things at once, you can do that there. But if you're going to your local game store or you're just looking for a way to protect your cards, Ultra Pro product is what we have trusted here on the show for many, many years. And you'll see that every single set, especially on like Commander Legends, they went all out. They have all the playmats, all of the deck boxes, sleeves, everything else to help theme out your deck. But most importantly, keep your cards in pristine condition, because there are some cards in this set I think are going to have a lot of value later on down the road.
Speaking of Jeweled Lotus.
And you don't want to get them scuffed up. Ever.
No, you don't. You want to keep them in good condition.
Yes.
All right. And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/command zone. You get to talk with Jimmy and I on our Discord each and every day. You also get to watch game nights and extra turns earlier than the general public. We just had two episodes come out in back-to-back weeks, which is a new thing for us. I hope we don't have to do very often. I hope we can stagger them a little more.
Yeah, we're not trying to set a trend here.
Didn't get a lot of sleep the last few weeks. But that is a big perk. Also, when you watch the game nights and the extra turns early, they're ad-free. You also get access to an ad-free version of this podcast, the audio-only version. So there's
and
a lot
the show notes.
And the show notes, see, the yeah. outline, yeah, if you want to know exactly what cards we listed in our outline. So there's a lot of perks for patrons. Again, patreon.com/command zone. And one of the other big perks is we shout out one lucky patron every single episode.
Yeah.
And this episode is dedicated to
Nick Campbell.
Nick, you rock.
I think Nick is one of our older patrons from...
Been around for a long time, yeah.
2016, I think.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for the long time support. All right, let's get into the main topic here. Partners in black from Commander Legends. All the colors have the same spread of partner commanders. They're all monocolor. There's one mythic, one rare, and six uncommon. That doesn't actually correspond with their power level all the time. Some of the uncommons have been a little bit crazy. Before we begin, is this a new thing we're putting on all the partners? I think I just left it from the last outline, but it's still true.
I was going to say, actually, we could add a couple more names to the list. Everything, if you wanted to, can partner with Thrasios, especially if you're not in green and blue. That's just the Simic way. This is the way. I mean, the same goes for like Timna, Tana, right? Any of the two color pairs from C16. If you're looking to
Thrasios particularly.
Thrasios particularly.
Is going to be good with all of them.
Because you get access to the things that also make Thrasios work and function better.
Well, especially in black too, because you get all the tutors.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you can just tutor up, you know, the Basalt Monolith, Rings of Bright Hearth, or whatever infinite mana combo you want. And if you already have Thrasios, then you can just win with infinite mana. So
if you want to do that.
Not that we won't mention Thrasios this episode, but just keep in mind they all are good with Thrasios if we don't talk about it. Okay, yep. Let's talk about the first one. This is Silas Wren's friend.
Yeah, I didn't realize it. It's on the art of Silas Wren.
Yep.
It's Armix Filigree Thrasher. 2 and a black for a 3/2 legendary artifact creature golem. Whenever Armix attacks, you may discard a card. When you do, target creature defending player controls gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control plus the number of artifact cards in your graveyard. A lot of math going on here. But
yeah, you gotta always know how many artifacts you have on the battlefield and in the graveyard combined.
Yep, and that's going to change if you discard an artifact with Armix when you're attacking. You can only give a creature -X/-X that you're defending player control, so I can't attack Josh and make one of Mel's creatures go down. So it has to be all sort of directed at one person. But this is a Artifacts Cares deck about the graveyard and the battlefield.
Yeah, because in order to activate this ability, you need to discard a card.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to be playing around with your graveyard, right? You don't want to just discard cards for no value. You're going to discard those cards, assuming that you're going to be able to reuse them or they like being in the graveyard or whatever. And because you want a lot of artifacts in the graveyard and on the battlefield, this kind of, I think, naturally becomes an Artifactocrats deck, which we've talked about in the past. And so a lot of these cards are going to be cards that you talk about in those decks. There's Scrap Trawler, Quark Clan Ironworks, that kind of stuff. I don't think we really have a need to go through like what all that is.
Basically, ways to recur artifacts back to your hand, sometimes to your library, or just, you know, there are a lot of different ways now to do this.
Yeah.
And Artifactocrats is my new favorite term.
And it's an established deck, Brea and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of decks like to do this. So you can just look up on EDHREC or whatever that type of deck. It's already, there's a shell there. And depending on what color you add with a partner with Armix, you're going to have some, you know, you're going to play in the margins, but I think the basic like 20 to 25 card package is kind of established. A really good card in this deck is the one you just brought up on your phone there, Jimmy.
Ugh, this card is nuts. It's a bit of an older one. Mycosynth Lattice, 6-mana artifact. All permanents are artifacts in addition to their other types. All cards that aren't on the battlefield, spells, and permanents are colorless, and players may spend mana as though it were mana of any color. So it basically turns all of your lands as well across the entire board into artifacts, including your own. So if you have Armix out and you discard a card, you're going to count every single one of your lands as an artifact, including the Mycosynth Lattice.
Pretty much you'll be able to kill anything by discarding a card. And with Armix's ability at that point, right? Like, unless it's very early in the game, which Mycosynth costs a lot, so it's not going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this deck presumably can ramp it out. You're playing a lot of rocks also as well.
While you have Mycosynth, yes, you can add Karn the Great Creator, which has that that static ability of activated abilities of artifacts your opponents control can't be activated, which with Mycosynth means that they can't tap their lands for mana anymore.
Ooh.
That's pretty mean. You can do that if you feel like it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but whatever.
Well, you can't really play Karn for the -2, which references a sideboard.
Right.
So you're just basically doing it for the +1 and then that plus Mycosynth.
Cranial Plating is going to be really good in this deck. This is an artifact equipment that costs 2 to play and 1 to equip. And equip creature gets +1/+0 for each artifact you control. And then you can pay black and attach Cranial Plating to target creature you control. You can do that at instant speed. This is just going to be very good in a deck that just wants to have a lot of artifacts on the battlefield. Ways to knock people out of nowhere. Also makes blocking really hard if you're attacking with a couple of creatures, because whichever one they don't block, you can slide it over to the other one.
Yeah, and the regular equip cost is just 1. Yeah. So it's actually a really efficient artifact equipment.
Yeah, go ahead.
You also have the Strionic Resonator / Lethal Form Engine. These are both abilities, or sorry, artifacts that are able to copy activated or triggered abilities. So now you can get double the trigger from Armix. You can kill two creatures at once. Presumably, you're going to want to do this because Armix doesn't have Menace, evasion of any sort. So getting rid of more blockers is one of the fewer ways to make sure it safely gets through and doesn't get blocked, chumped, whatever.
And also just killing two creatures instead of one is good. Just to clarify there, Strionic doesn't activated abilities, but Lethal Form Engine I think can, right?
Yeah.
Lethal Form Engine does everything.
Lethal Form really does everything. And in fact, its top ability is copy target activated or triggered ability you control. And Strionic Resonator for the same cost is only copy target triggered ability.
Is a triggered ability because it's a when it attacks trigger, even though you do have to pay something.
Yeah.
I know it's a little confusing. Okay, let's talk about what you might want to pair it with. The way that I like to think about a lot of these partners is, what colors do I want to add to this commander? And assuming you're building around Armix and not like Armix is helping the other commander. Because I think most of the time when I've built a partner deck, I'm concentrating on one of the partners more than the other, and that's sort of the main strategy. And the other one's just either helping that main strategy, or they have a sub-theme that, like... But it's hard to split a deck evenly 50-50, right?
Especially back in the C16 days when it was, like, Tana pairs with, like, Thrasios. It's, like, tokens and Thrasios. It's, like, okay, it's easier to just sort of go one direction. But it's nice with these new commanders is that all of these partner ones are very pretty much pointing in one direction. So it makes the partnering, I think, a little more simple.
So for Armix, I think you definitely want blue if you're looking to build the most powerful version of an Armix deck, because blue gives you self-milling.
Mm.
And that's going to be, I think, one of the things you want to do with Armix is just dump a bunch of artifacts in your graveyard, because that's going to be, you know, the easiest way to get a lot of negative X. Because it's way harder to play cards than it is to just mill cards, right? Your own cards. So since it counts the artifacts in your graveyards, I think that's really big. It also gives you access to all the windfall effects that blue has, which again, fill your graveyard up.
And they're just really good.
Yeah. And I also said, you know, if you're going to have all the windfall effects, then you probably may as well just put Hull Breacher and Narset in there.
Yep, Hull Breacher is a new card from Commander Legends, similar to Narset, which basically says, Narset is part of Reveals, is each opponent can't draw more than one card each turn. So if you wheel a fortune or play a windfall, everyone else is drawing one card while you draw however many.
Yep.
And the Hull Breacher is a flash Merfolk Pirate for two in the blue. That's if an opponent would draw a card except for the first one they draw on each of their draw steps, instead you create a treasure token.
So that could be like you make 21 treasures.
Yeah, because they're not even drawing one card. They're drawing none.
None. And also, like, they can't draw extra cards basically until they get rid of Hull Breacher.
Yeah.
This is a card, Hull Breacher, that's sort of in the trio of powerful cards from the deck. We already talked about Jeweled Lotus and Opposition Agent.
Opposition Agent, yeah.
But we'll talk about it more in the 99 review, but if it had been spoiled at the time we talked about those, we probably would have talked about it in that little other episode. Because I think that card could be white.
These are sort of the top three offenders, I would say, of the, did that need to happen like that?
Blue really need that? All right. That's a totally another subject. Blue also, if you pair it with Armix, gives access to all the artifact tutors.
Oh, yeah.
So blue has, like, War of Invention, Trinket Mage, Fabricate. There's tons. Blue is really good at finding artifacts. I don't know why.
Yeah, they should probably... all of the mages, right? Trinket and then Trophy, Treasure and Trophy. Yeah, there's 1, 3, and 6 CMCs tutors, which are all great.
So this is going to be an artifacts deck, so being able to find the good ones, especially the small ones, is a good idea.
Yeah.
You also get the blue artifact recursion, so like Emry, Lurker of the Lock. Blue also gives you Chief Engineer, which allows you to convoke out your artifacts, so tap your creatures for mana. Here's a really interesting card that's also an alt win condition in the deck that's in blue.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read it?
Mirrodin Besieged. It's great. It's 2 in the blue for an enchantment. As Mirrodin Besieged enters the battlefield, choose Mirren or Phyrexian. Mirren, so this is kind of like the Outpost series, where you can choose one or the other as an enchantment. The Mirren side is whenever you cast an artifact spell, create a 1/1 colorless Mirror artifact creature token. Pretty nice. You're going to make a lot of, and that's also going to fuel Armix. And then
you might do that sometimes.
Yeah, the Phyrexian side, though. At the beginning of your end step, draw a card, then discard a card. Then, if there are 15 or more artifact cards in your graveyard, target opponent loses the game. Typically, this is like, nah, it's never going to happen. But this is 100%. Yeah, this is the deck, if it's going to do it, is going to get you a win through Phyrexian.
And also, just that at the beginning of your turn, or of your end step, draw a card and then discard a card is good for you, because great artifacts that go into your graveyard are good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it can't happen before combat, but in general, you're going to be running a deck that wants to use its graveyard as its second hand, basically.
Yeah, so if you want to add blue, Silas Wren is pretty obvious, because Silas gets artifacts out of your graveyard. So, yeah, of course, they made Silas so that it pairs with Armix. Because, again, like we said, if you look on the Silas Ren art, Armix is there.
Yeah, and Armix is massive compared to Silas, too.
Also, there's a new partner in blue, Glacian Power Stone Engineer.
Yeah, and this guy's great, actually. We'll talk about him in the blue episode, unless you haven't already read him. But he taps to tap X untapped artifacts you control, and then you look at the top X cards in your library, put one of the cards into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. So yeah, that's actually Turbo Mill.
Yeah, so that's really, really good in the deck. Obviously, pairs really, really well. Some alternative pairings you could think about is maybe you want to add red as well. So if you add Silas Ren to Armix, you only get one additional color. You get blue. But if you were to add like Chrome or something, you would get, you would have black, blue, and red all of a sudden. And that gives you access to the red artifact cards. And there are some really good ones. Storm the Vaults is a great card in a deck that wants to have a lot of artifacts on the battlefield. Don't worry about the front side, but it flips over and becomes a land that taps for the amount of mana equal to the amount of artifacts you control. So
yeah, Talarian Academy.
Yep. Which is Talarian Academy is a banned card. So this is a way to get a sort of similar version of it. Joyra, Weatherlight Captain, draws you cards for artifacts you play. You get Goblin Welder and Engineer, which recur artifacts from graveyards or swap
really
them.
Powerful.
Dockside of Sorceress, which makes treasure, which you care about number of artifacts in play. So that red, I think, is a good alternative color. I think blue's probably still more powerful strictly because of the self-mill part, but it, you know, if you can get both, might be a good idea.
And hey, if you have a reason to play Vandalblast in your deck,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
And then also, I thought Akiri could be good. She cares about artifacts, and white gives you access to Aethersworn Canonist, which makes it hard for people to cast non-artifact spells, and you have mostly artifacts. Smothering Tithe makes treasure. You care about number of artifacts. And then Luris allows you to play permanent cards of CMC 2 or less, right?
From your graveyard, yeah.
Yeah, so that white would give you some stuff you might want. So
I actually really like Akiri, if you're just going, because Armix cares about attacking, so does Akiri, and you're just sort of trying to get in there with Mardu colors. Seems kind of fun.
To be clear, it's the partner Akiri, not the
Akiri from Zendikar. But they all kind of do the same thing. They want to attack.
Yep. So that's Armix. Seems pretty cool. It's an attack trigger, so it's not going to be too broken. Artifacto Kratz, though, is already a good deck, so
yeah,
it's going to be good.
And in general, again, all of these black commanders, if you have a partner pairing and you want to just add the color black, you could literally slot any of these in, and you know, sometimes they won't synergize, but if they do, then that's just gravy on top.
I don't think Armix is probably the best for your average deck, because it's very...
This one might be much better.
This one's probably going to be better in a more broad sense. It's Falthus, Shadowcat Familiar. 2 and a black for a 2/2 Legendary Nightmare Cat. It says, commanders you control have Menace and Death Touch.
Ooh. Including himself or itself.
Right.
By the way, I believe there is a cycle now looking at all of them. All the familiars look like they belong to Strixhaven.
Oh.
So hopefully there's a lot of animal, cute animals on Strixhaven, because I think that's what's going to happen. Kedis.
That does look like it. I never thought about
this. Yeah, they're really cute.
So there's been some Death Touch and Menace, Menace tribal stuff recently. And it seems like a direction that they're just slowly going in. So for multiple sets now, we've gotten these cards that sort of care about certain keywords. There's been Trample Tribal, Menace Tribal.
Fight Tribal.
Fight Tribal.
Yeah, that's not a keyword.
Yeah, it's not a keyword. Yeah, Death Touch Tribal. So cards like Hooded Blightfang are probably good. This is 2 and a black for a 1/4 snake with Death Touch. But it says, whenever a creature you control with Death Touch attacks, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. And then whenever a creature you control with Death Touch deals damage to a Planeswalker, destroy that Planeswalker. So it makes the Death Touch work against Planeswalkers, as
that's like the
probably should
the
anyway.
Ability, yeah.
Yeah. We always talk about this. If you've got Death Touch on your commander, giving it the ability to ping creatures is usually good. So Viridian Longbow is an equipment that allows you to tap, equip creature to tap and deal one damage.
I think this card's super underrated, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a Death Touch commander, this card probably goes in there, because it just makes your commander say, tap, kill a creature.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of new like pirate cards that are like, when a pirate does damage to an opponent, any kind of damage, so the longbow is great there too. Thornbite Staff, very similar. It is a 2-mana artifact that taps, and you pay 2 to tap it to deal 1 damage to any target. And however, whenever a creature dies, untap this creature. So if you have a way to find infinite mana, then this thing just untaps and murders every single thing on the board, pretty much.
It's 4 to equip, so it's a lot, but when your commander has Death Touch, I think it can be worth it. Because even just like pay 4 mana, kill 2 creatures is pretty good, and leave your thing untapped and maybe attack with it.
Yeah.
So those are some good general cards that are going to go with Falthus. As far as what colors to pair it with, blue gives you control magic effects, which, remember, Falthus says commanders you control. So a way to get additional value out of that, obviously you're going to have one other commander that's your partner, but if you steal an opponent's commander, well, it gets Menace and Death Touch because that is a commander. It doesn't say commanders you own or your commander.
If you want to pair this up with Silas Wren, well, Silas Wren having to deal combat damage to do his thing, also helped by Menace. Generally, that's like Menace and Flying. I'm always surprised when Menace is around because you're like, wow, that can hit a lot of people right now. Typically, it's like the Flyer that's like, sure, yeah, you can hit me with that. But Menace does a lot of work, I think, in Commander.
And Menace with Death Touch, Menace, I keep wanting to say Menace. Menace with Death Touch.
Yeah, it's just better.
Is really tough to block because even if you have the two blockers, the question is, do I want to lose both creatures?
Yep.
And, you know, getting two for one like that on their commander too, which they can recast, just never feels good. Most people aren't going to block. Green, if you paired it with green, gives you a bunch of other Death Touch creatures, which could be good if you're going Death Touch tribal, because Hooded Blightfang's great, but if only your two commanders have Death Touch, it's not as awesome, right, as if a bunch of other creatures do. Yep. You also get Vraska Swarm's Eminence, which is a Planeswalker from War of the Spark. It's 2/2 hybrid black green, so 4 mana for a 5 loyalty planeswalker. But it says whenever a creature you control with Death Touch deals damage to a player or planeswalker, you put a 1/1 counter on that creature. And you can also -2 Vraska and create a 1/1 black assassin creature token with Death Touch that also has that when it deals damage to a planeswalker, destroy the planeswalker. It makes Death Touch creatures, it pumps your Death Touch creatures. Seems good with Falthus. Also, green has all the lure effects.
Right, so luring a card is basically forcing all creatures to block at this combat if able, or sort of, you know, like a lure, you're throwing it out and you're reeling them in. And with Death Touch, this is almost like targeted removal.
Yeah, or it could be like mass removal for one opponent too. Like, uh-huh. If you can get a creature's power up a little bit, then if it's a 4/4 and you lure it and attack somebody who's got, you know, six creatures, they got to block with all of it, and you're going to kill four of their creatures. Because you get to assign one damage to four different things. Because you only have to assign lethal damage to things. So that works really well. I think Inara could be good paired with Falthus because of the indestructible that Inara gives. Makes it really, really tough to block. And also if you lured Inara and attacked and it had Death Touch and a lure, now it's a 4/4 and it's not going to die and it's going to kill four things. That becomes pretty strong. So green seems like a decent pairing.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. Red gives you access to some Menace tribal stuff. So Zegras is Death Touch tribal stuff. So Zegras was from Zendikar.
Yeah, Zegras is probably like the best pairing here because it is a 4 black and a red 4/4 flyer. It costs one less for each creature in your party. So again, those are warriors, clerics, rogues, and wizards. Not really probably going to be relevant here, but other creatures you control have Death Touch and the same thing. Whenever your creature you control deals combat damage to a planeswalker, destroy that planeswalker.
Yeah. Again, you can't pair it with Zagreus, but Zagreus could go in a deck with Falthus and something with red, another partner with red. You also get Labyrinth Raptor and Sonorous Howl Bonder, which are Menace tribal things.
Sonorous Howl Bonder makes Menace Menace triple Menace.
You need three creatures to block your Menace creatures. And then Labyrinth Raptor is pretty interesting. It's a creature that says whenever a creature you control with Menace becomes blocked, defending player sacrifices a creature blocking it.
Whoa.
So they just lose one of them automatically, and then if the other one, you know, still can eat your creature, at least it'll die to the Death Touch. So they're going to lose both creatures. I guess they were probably going to anyway because of the Death Touch, but still. Then you can also, red also gives you the ability for your creatures to deal damage to other creatures, and again, with the Death Touch, it can be pretty devastating. So Chandra's Ignition, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each other creature and each opponent.
Death Touch.
Yeah, with Falthus, this just kills all the other creatures. Also, there's a way to win the game if you can get your creature big enough.
Yeah. Oh, I like Bloodmark Mentor. I thought was fun. One red for a 1/1. Red creatures you control have first strike. So again, you're just making like, you're kind of like vulturing it out, right? This could be a Rogue Rock deck in a way. You can add red and then you give it just basically a bunch, all your creatures different effects and abilities. Makes it super hard to block them.
Well, first strike is very, very good with Death Touch because on first strike damage, you deal the Death Touch, they die. They never hit you back.
Yeah.
So that's why first strike is good with Death Touch. White, if you're going to pair with white, does give you access to first strike as well. So Archetype of Courage and Knighthood is an enchantment. They both do the same thing. They give creatures you control first strike. I think this pairs pretty well also with any of the partners that say, when it deals combat damage, do this. Because Death Touch and Menace just make things really hard to block. So like Kedis, this is a new red one. Breaches, Timna, Tana, Ikra Shiddiqui, Akiri Lineslinger. Akiri doesn't have a combat trigger, but you just want to get her in for damage.
Yeah.
Maybe could also be good with Jessica, because if you give Jessica Death Touch, then her minus ability.
Oh, that's right. Because as a planeswalker with Death Touch, it's not like it's unlike a creature.
Right.
She can minus X to deal X damage to each of up to three targets.
So you just do it for one and kill three things. So that makes, I think, Jessica's minus ability a lot better. So interesting things you can do with Falthus. And I actually think Falthus is a partner that's probably going to get better as the years go on, because they clearly are sort of dropping one or two Menace Tribal, Death Touch Tribal type cards here and there. And my guess is they're going to continue to build those archetypes up.
Yep. You probably won't play this as much in the 99, but if you do, you just play this creature and it's similar to a lot of the other ones. Like when you control your commander, get X, Y, and Z. In this case, this just grants your commander Menace and Death Touch.
Maybe like in a Saskia deck or something like that, you'd play it inside. But yeah, I don't think it's probably going in the 99 a ton.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Good job, Kitty.
Good job.
A nightmare cat, as most cats are when they are, you know, young, I guess. All right, next up we got Keskit, the Flesh Sculptor. 2 and a black for a 1/3 legendary creature human artificer. You can tap Keskit to sacrifice 3 other artifacts and or creatures. Look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 2 of them into your hand and the other into your graveyard. So sacrificing 3 things,
yeah,
you get
a lot.
Draw 2 and 1 goes into the graveyard.
It's a steep price, right?
Yeah, I mean, even sacking 2 is a steep price.
Yeah.
Sacking 1 sometimes can be a steep price if you're not set up.
I still think there's some cool things you can do with it. The first thing I wanted to say was that it seems pretty good with Encore.
Right.
Because that's the new mechanic where you
exile a card.
From your graveyard. You make a token copy for each opponent, and then it must attack those opponents that turn, and then you sacrifice at the beginning of the next end step. So you can Encore something,
right,
get your attack in, maybe get your into the battlefield a thing, and then sacrifice them to Keskit before you have to sacrifice them to their own Encore trigger. And that's a way to get some additional value off Encore, so I think that's kind of good. I mean, besides that, it's not super exciting because it's going to be either Aristocrats, because you can sack creatures, or Artifactocrats, because you can sack artifacts.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah. It's Aristofactocrats.
That sounds so...
Yeah, so Scrap Trawler, Mirror Retriever, Junk Diver, Carnivore Works. I think if you, there's probably some infinite type loops you can get into if you get cost reducers like Foundry Inspector, Joyer's Familiar, that make your artifacts cost less. You might be able to get like Mirror Retriever, Junk Divers to cost 0 or close to it. Pitiless Plunderer makes treasure when creatures die.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe something that can turn mana and untap Keskit, because remember, Keskit's got a tap, so there's a lot of pieces, but you could probably put together some combos where you're sacking stuff, casting it for 0, getting it back, you know, churning through your deck, creating infinite mana. I don't know.
I think you're looking for a way to get something to happen when you sacrifice your artifacts as well.
Yeah.
Thornbite
Staff is, yeah, I wrote down, it's good because when a creature dies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you sack the creatures.
Untap it.
To Keskit, and that untaps it because creatures died.
And then maybe you have Pitiless Plunderer out to get a bunch of art treasures. You can use the treasures to make more mana.
Recast the things.
Yeah. Notably, I think I like Joyous Familiar and Foundry Inspector because a lot of times when you have mana reduction on cards, they'll say like artifact spells, you cast one less to cast. This can't reduce the cost to 0.
Right.
But these can. If you have both out and you have a 2-mana artifact, it becomes a free to cast thing. So then you're into the whole eggs world. There's 100 different ways to go, maybe more infinite at that point.
Blue gives you all the same artifacts synergies we talked about with Armix. Plus you get untappers for Keskit, so you can play like the Fate Stitchers of the World and that Vizier of Tumbling Sands and kind of stuff like that if you wanted to. Blue red gives you both the main artifacts colors similar to Armix, so you can again get those Goblin Welders and stuff and the Storm the Vaults and all that. I thought pairing with Toggo might be kind of good because you can sack all those rocks for value. Toggo makes rocks when lands enter the battlefield.
Yeah, and then you can play all of the things that are just you're trying to make a lot of, you know, artifacts on the battlefield, rocks included.
Yeah, if you go more towards the aristocrat side, so the creature, sacrificing creature side, then white and green are probably better just because white has more graveyard recursion, green too. White also does have some untappers to allow you to use Keskit, you know, more than once in a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Keskit's a lot of hoops to jump through, can do some powerful things, but, you know, the combos with Keskit are like 4-card combos and things like that, so not going to be insanely powerful. Anything that you have to tap to do its thing is always going to have a natural check on it.
Yep. three creatures, even though you can do artifacts as well, it just is a bit too much, I think. It's going to be hard to get this going within the first, you know, 4 or 5 turns of the game unless you have a lot of cheap artifacts out. But even then, do you want to sacrifice them just to draw 2 cards? Probably not.
All right, the next one is Miara, Thorn of the Glade, 1 and a black for a 1/2 legendary elf scout. Whenever Miara or another elf you control dies, you may pay 1 and 1 life. If you do, draw a card.
Hey, that's fun.
So Elftocrats.
Add O-crats to everything, and you've got a deck, especially if it's in black.
This is kind of what black's doing so far, right? Because this is when an elf dies.
Yep.
Get this. So, well, you're going to do the same things that you want to do with artifacts and with normal creatures in these other decks. You want to get specifically elves, but then you want to get them to die and recur them and stuff. So you're almost certainly going to want to pair this with green because green has the most elves. And because you need elves to die for Miara to do anything, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to not have green.
Yeah, you definitely need green. It's also the one where you can make the most tokens. You got a lot of 1/1 green elves running around, warrior tokens, all that stuff.
But I think it is quite good. And the fact that earlier we talked about Abomination of Llanowar is like,
right.
Really, green-black has a lot of elves, but they don't have a commander that's really good with them. And I think this is probably better than the Abomination of Llanowar as far as like caring about how many elves you have and stuff like that.
And this also was going to fuel you through the late game, and you can pair this up with a 2-color pairing too if you don't want to just go green and black.
That's a good point. And there are like random elves hanging out in white and some other colors, so you could get your hands on those by having Miara and something else. So I think that's pretty good. But, you know, obviously you're going to want the Ashnod's Altars, the Phyrexian Altars. Green gives you Birthing Pod.
Ah, very nice.
Which is a sac outlet. You'll draw a card. You also get to go tutor for another creature that is, what is it, equal to or CMC 1 CMC more.
Which is great, actually, because there's a lot of combo potential in these decks. Obviously, you're playing Ashnod's Altar and Phyrexian Altar, because if you sac a creature to that, that gives you the mana to pay for Miara's ability, and that's just going to keep your engine going.
Yeah, there's stuff like Wyrewood Herald, which is an elf that when it dies, you may search your library for an elf card, reveal that card, put it into your hand, shuffle your library.
Oh, cool.
You want token creators. There's less elf token creators than you think. A lot of them are on creatures. There's stuff like Lissalana, Huntmaster.
Yeah. Whenever you cast an elf spell, you can create a 1/1 green elf warrior creature token.
So that's just going to fuel the Elftocrats stuff, right, that you can sack and draw the cards, turn your tokens into cards. If you add white, which means you'd want to be Sidar Kondo to have green and white, then you get the recursion from white. You get Lurrus, which we've talked about already, but most elves are low CMC, so Lurrus would allow you to recast them out of your graveyard. You get like Faith's Reward type stuff, which, you know, brings back all the permanents that have gone to the graveyard from your battlefield this turn.
Yeah.
That's a way to sack a lot of stuff, play Faith's Reward, get it all back. Tesa Karloff.
Yeah, if you're adding black now. Oh, well, you already have because of Miara, right?
Yeah, so with white, you get Tesa Karloff.
Right.
Which is the Death Harmonicon, doubles up your death triggers, and Miara is a death trigger, so you draw 2 cards.
Not only that, Tesa cares about your creature tokens as well, and if you're going that route, which seems like the most combo-tastic and value-driven, then creature tokens have vigilance and lifelink. So that could be a big game as well.
You get access to Athreos, God of Passage, the OG Athreos, which also can recur your creatures to your hand if people don't pay 3 life. This is one we haven't talked about a lot, but probably should be talking about more.
It's Mothra. I don't know why we're not. It's Luminous Broodmoth, 2 white for a 3/4 flying. Whenever creature you control without flying dies, return it to the battlefield under its owner control with a flying counter on it. So it basically turns all of your caterpillars into moths, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
is that the right route?
So yeah, that's exactly what it's doing, right?
Yeah.
So your elves die, and they don't have flying, because most elves don't fly, which means that they come back on the battlefield with a flying counter. So you can kind of sack all your elves twice. And also just elves with flying is kind of cool, and a lot of times you're going to pump all your elves to win the game eventually, so them having flying is quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so white is, I think white-green is probably the direction you want to go, but you also can think about like blue. Blue gives you Distant Melody, which is a sorcery. You can choose a creature type and then draw a card for each permanent you control of that type. Blue also gives you access to, if it's blue-green and black, which I think it's black-green and something else, right? If you're going 3-color.
Has to be black and green, I think, for this deck.
So Tishana is a card you might think about, which basically, when it ETBs, you draw cards equal to the number of creatures you control. And elf decks just tend to have like a lot of creatures out very early.
Yeah, you don't even care that this isn't an elf. When you play this, you're like, great, I just drew 10 cards or whatever it is.
And Mirara is drawing you a ton of cards, so it's going to be, you're going to have a ton of cards in this deck.
Yeah.
Red seems like the color you're not going to use, but maybe Goblin Bombardment is a card that you would want. I mean, definitely you would want that card, but I don't think it's worth going into red for. Haste Granters.
Haste Granters, or you're playing your Impact Tremors, so you're killing people because you're making tons of tokens. In general, though, Mirara can really go a lot of different ways. The nice thing about it is that her ability is really evergreen here, which is like lose an elf, pay some mana, draw some cards.
Yeah, that's always going to be good, but it's going to be a little bit narrow because it's only going, you only really want it in an elf deck.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so we're through half of the partner commanders in black. We've got the other half to go, including the Planeswalker commander from, there's only two in this set, I guess. I was going to say from this.
Yeah, true.
But which is pretty cool, and one Jimmy's playing on the next episode of Game Nights. We're going to go through that in just a second. We're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
All right, we are back talking about the black solo partner commanders, commander partner, only partners with partners. Okay, I'm just kidding. It's the black series of eight commanders in Commander Legends, and we're through four of them, so let's get to the final four.
Final four.
We haven't done the rare or the mythic yet. They're coming up, but first up, we have Nadir, Agent of the Duskanel, 5 and a black for a 3/3 legendary creature, elf warrior. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Nadir. Whenever Nadir leaves the battlefield, create a number of 1/1 green elf warrior creature tokens equal to its power. Hey, we were just talking about how there weren't as many elf sort of like token creators. This one could be a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of echoes of Alenda, the Dusk Rose. This is a leaves the battlefield trigger. Funny because they probably designed it with the old dies rule in effect.
Oh,
because it was
funny.
Designed a couple of years ago, but then now the dies rule has changed. So I wonder if this would have said when Nadir dies, create a number of 1/1, but they probably learned from Alenda, don't do that. And now all of a sudden you could have done that. Anyway, leaves the battlefield is definitely better than when it dies, right? Because you could flicker it, you could, even if it gets exiled or whatever. It's obviously tokens because it says tokens on there twice. Mm-hmm. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, so not just a creature. So this is tokens-ocrats, kind of, right? You want stuff to die because, or leave the battlefield, but tokens, when they leave the battlefield, generally go away. So, and then you want Nadir to leave the battlefield to make more tokens, which could then leave the battlefield to make Nadir bigger if you, I'm just going to say Nadir, by the way.
Nadir,
you
yeah.
You just established that that's what it is. So it's a specifically tokens aristocrats type strategy.
This obviously goes great in the Mirara deck that we talked about earlier. In fact, you may even be okay with interchanging them depending on what direction you're taking that deck as who is the commander for the pairing.
Yeah, because it makes elves.
Yeah. There are lots of different ways to abuse tokens. Then there's great cards in black that actually make a lot. Endrick Saar, Master Breeder, is the Thrall token master. So whenever you cast a creature spell, create X11 black Thrall creature tokens where X is that spell's converted to mana cost. And then whenever you control 7 or more Thralls, you sacrifice Endrixar. However, I'm presuming you're going to have a sacrifice out later around so that that doesn't happen. But Endrixar is one of those great cards that just continually pumps out tokens for you.
Yeah, Endrixar is perfect with Nadia too, because she would, Nadia, is it she? He would create exactly 6.
Ah, yes.
When you cast. So then, and then if you have Sack Outlet, all of a sudden Nadia immediately becomes huge. Nadia is really powerful against like board wipes and stuff too, because if in response you could sack all the tokens, make Nadia big, it's going to die to the. To the wrath, but then boom, bring
make more
back
tokens.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't really get ahead much.
Especially if you have a way to use what, like a Sack Outlet, if you're milling someone or doing damage of some sort, doing something.
Nadia also says whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, so it doesn't actually have to be a creature. So,
I like this.
Yeah, so treasure tokens work really well with this. So Pitiless Plunderer, a card we've been talking about a bunch but goes in all these decks, makes treasure when creatures you control die. So that's a way to, you know, turn your tokens that you sacked into treasure that you sack that then become
buff up Nadia.
Huge. Yeah, Nadia gets huge when it dies, becomes a million elf warrior creature tokens.
That's cool. I'm glad that it's just tokens as well. There's like the there's lots of ways to make sort of like mana producing tokens as well in terms of the, what are those called? Those little am I blanking on their names? The 0/1s that sack for mana.
Eldrazi
spawns. And, yeah.
It's so scions again, or spawns. I always get confused.
Another way, scions are the 1/1 spawns are the 0/1s. So again, tokens leaving the battlefield. That's really neat though. Treasure is going to get you so much more value in this. So that's why you might want to add green or white to get those artifact synergies. And then of course you can play Smothering Tithe.
Seems really good with Nadia, right? Oh, well, yeah. Smothering Tithe, that's a good point. Always seems really good. Tireless Tracker is another one because clue tokens would count as things that are leaving the battlefield, tokens leaving the battlefield. Might also be good in a pairing with Tana because Tana makes tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way for Nadia to kind of get bigger and protect your board. The problem with token decks often is, I got 40 tokens, somebody, you know, kills them all. Cyclonic Rift or whatever.
Maelstrom Pulse.
Yeah. Rift is actually pretty good against Nadia's a leave the battlefield trigger. Sorry. So that's, again, fine against Rift.
You know, I kind of like the fact that they're sort of trending towards this. We've seen this a couple of times now where it's like whenever there's any, like, for instance, the pirates that like dealing damage, any kind of damage to a player or any kind of token leaving the battlefield, it's nice. It kind of opens it up more without necessarily breaking, I think, apart the format, which is excellent.
So red would also give you treasure tokens and token creation with Tana. So you'd also get like Dockside Extortionist, which, you know, spoiler alert, that card is good.
please give us more.
Togo makes rock tokens. If you can sack them in some way, then, or somehow get them to leave the battlefield, then that could maybe be good. I don't know.
You bet throwing the rock doesn't get rid of the rock.
It does. It sacks the rock.
Oh, well, there you go. Never mind.
But it's a lot of mana. You're not going to throw very many of them, in my experience, anyway.
Blue. I like blue here, yeah.
Yeah, blue gives you blink effects, and it is leave the battlefield stuff. So remember, Nadia is a 3/3, so just by blinking it, you'll get 3 elves.
Yes.
If it hasn't been pumped in any other way, so, you know, blue blinky stuff could work good too.
Yeah, if you can blink him a bunch, that's 3 elves every single time. You don't really need that many to add on a crater hoof type effect.
Yeah, if you do that twice, you're probably fine, right? Like 9 creatures will usually do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least to kill one person.
So it's interesting. It's more token focused, sort of aristocratsy, but doesn't have to be aristocrats too. Could also be bounce and blink. So I find that interesting.
Yeah. I dig it.
All right. The next one is the one that the prof was the most excited about. And this was the one that Gavin was the most excited
That's
about.
Right.
What is it?
A year ago
when we did our announcement video. It's Sangir the Dark Baron. So Baron Sangir. 4 black for a 4/4 legendary vampire noble has flying. Whenever another creature dies, put 2 1/1 counters on Sangir the Dark Baron. And whenever another player loses the game, you gain life equal to that player's life total as the turn began.
Well, another random thing I needed to keep track of.
Yeah, what was your life total when the turn you began? Okay, that's how much I'm gaining. Listen, you can do some stuff with this card, but man, I don't know why this was the rare, because it seems less powerful than a lot of the other ones. It's 6 mana, so much mana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, again, I'll just say it off the bat, Marchese of the Black Rose fans, yay, because gaining life in that deck can be really important, but 6 mana for a creature is still...
Well, you're not going to gain that much life. You have to kill a player to gain the life. Like,
sure, you got to combo them out.
Well, it's definitely going to happen maximum of twice in a game, because the third time you won.
Yeah, so, true.
Yeah.
And how much are you really gaining, right? Let's say Sanger is like like a 10-10. You're hitting them for 12 or something. So it's not that significant.
You have to knock them out of the game with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are
Anyone can lose the game, right? Someone could just combo kill out an Aetherflux Reservoir someone, and then you could gain, you know, 40 life or something, right?
Right, but if Sangir the Dark Baron is out, they're going to Aetherflux Reservoir you. And then the other player, right? Like, because they know. They don't want you to gain 80 life or whatever it is. 80. They would have to be at 80. They don't want you to gain 30 life or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. I think there are some ways this card can do cool stuff, though. Hatred is a card. It's 3 black for an instant. It says, as an additional cost to cast this spell, pay X life, and then target creature gains plus X plus O until end of turn. So normally you don't want to just pay, or sometimes you do, but normally it hurts a lot to pay just 36 life, or actually I guess it would be 17 life into it. But yeah, that's a way to gain 40 life, right? Like you play Sangir the Dark Baron, attack, it's a flyer, so presumably no blockers, pay 17 life, and then you're going to gain 40 life back or whatever
they were at. Yeah. And speaking of killing people without taking them to zero, you can obviously do similar things to Hatred, which is Infect. So Tainted Strike, a creature gets +1/+1 and gains Infect until end of turn, so you can get them up to a 10. And if you get someone infected out, they're going to lose the game, and they could stay at 40 life and take 10 Infect damage, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Grafted Exoskeleton is another way. Especially if you have a couple other creatures in a sack outlet, you can pump them, Sangir the Dark Baron that way.
Yeah, if you're going to pair it with red, then you're going to get a lot of the effects that really help you out in the Voltron, smack them down in one hit type effect. So Teemer Battle Rage gives you double strike until end of turn, and it gains trample as well, because it's got power 4 or more on Sangir automatically.
Yep, if you Hatred and make this thing huge, or do some of these other pump effects, Fling is a really good card, which allows you to sacrifice a creature and then deal damage to any target equal to the sacrificed creature's power.
Notably, it doesn't have to be Sangir the one that's attacking and killing them, right? You could have just another creature that hits them for 25 and that's enough, and then you fling that to someone else and maybe kill them too.
Yep.
Sangir just needs to sort of be there to see that happen to get the effects going.
Chandra's Ignition we already talked about, but if you're going to Hatred and Chandra's Ignition in a turn, that's 10 mana, but that'll probably win you the game.
Yeah.
I also thought Treasonous Ogre is quite good in this deck because a lot of Treasonous Ogre is a creature, but it has pay 3 life and add a red to your mana pool. So very powerful card, but even more powerful if you're going to take that risk, you're going to do it to take a player out of the game and gain a lot of that life back.
So, I love Treasonous Ogre. It's very much a me card.
It will make the Chandra's Ignition Hatred thing a lot easier to do too, right? Like, because you need so much mana to do that. But if you have Treasonous Ogre out, now all of a sudden, like, oh man, if I have 4 mana and like 15 life, maybe I can pull that off.
If you are pairing it with red, then Jessica seems like a really good pairing from the new partners, because Jessica can triple the damage that's being dealt. So Sangir then really does become a potential threat for a commander kill.
Only has to be 7 power. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Sangir, any creature dies, it gets 2+1/+1 counters. So just incidentally, on the other side of the board, something gets sacked, something happens, Sangir's going to grow.
Tana, we keep mentioning Tana, but it seems like a good combination with this package, because Tana's also good with Hatred, Teemer Battle Rage, that kind of stuff, because you just make more tokens. And the tokens are good with Sangir the Dark Baron, because then you can sack those to make the Baron bigger. I'm just going to call him Baron.
Baron.
Yeah.
Big B.
Big B.
And of course, you get Green Ramp, so that's really important. And then, like, actually, you wrote down +1 counter synergy, which could be a whole nother way of taking Sangir. You don't necessarily need to be like, let's combo kill someone else out, because people are going to start sniffing that from a ways away.
Yeah, that's true. Tana gives you green, which just has the 1/1 counter synergy, so yeah.
I like when you wrote down Ludovic, which is adding blue and red to this, because Ludovic says at the beginning of each player's end step, that player may draw a card if a player other than you lost life this turn. So it's encouraging other players to start attacking each other, maybe getting them within striking range for you to kill them.
Yep. You'll gain less life if they're lower when they die, but still, like, just encouraging them to attack each other is good in any text that says when another player loses the game and does something, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen very often. You need some help. Rayhan could be good because it gives +1 counter synergy. Again, that's green, only adding green to the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Blue gives you tutors and recursion for your instants and sorceries. So if you are building around Hatred, Tainted Strike, stuff like that, then you may want to either rebuy those or be able to find them at the right moment. And so blue could be a consideration, blue, red, or something like that. Ludovic again.
Okay, cool. Sangir is not terribly exciting, especially as the rare, but flavor-wise, awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be real bad when you got to do that stuff and somebody goes, Swords to Plowshares?
Remove it. Remove it. Or you do all this stuff and you're like, haha, got you for lethal. And someone else is like, I'm not going to let you gain the life, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at 2. Hatred hurt.
Yeah, somebody else is going to be like, okay, Swords to Plowshares, because before that Hatred, you know, sticks right after you paid the life.
All right, next up is Tevish Zot, Doom of Fools. This is the commander pairing that I played for the Game Nights episode. I paired this up with Sakashima. So Tevish Zot is a planeswalker similar to Jessica. This is the only two planeswalker partner commanders from the set. Four in the black for a four loyalty planeswalker. He has two plus abilities. The first one is a plus two. Create 2/0/1 black thrall creature tokens. These are notably different than the Endrixar ones because they're 0/1s, not 1/1s. Mm. And this plus one, you may sacrifice another creature or planeswalker. If you do, draw two cards, then draw another card if the sacrifice permanent was a commander. And then his minus 10, gain control of all commanders. Put all commanders from the command zone onto the battlefield under your control.
So you steal him not just from the board, but from the command zone.
From the command zone, yeah. And if you get him to 10 and use it, he will go to the command zone, and then you'll steal him from your own command zone out. So he'll immediately come right back out.
Holy cow, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
Yeah, a lot of really good abilities here. Like, I think all of these are pretty useful.
Yeah, and this is one of those cards where it's just like you kind of, it's kind of a sac outlet on at sorcery speed one time a turn, but you draw two cards, and if you end up sacrificing a commander, you draw three cards. I like that you can sacrifice planeswalkers with this because this immediately made me think of when I built the deck, all of the War of the Spark ones that only have negative abilities and will sometimes just sit at one or two loyalty and not be able to do anything, like Narset, Potter of Veils, or Obnixilis, the Hate Twisted. And I thought,
and now they become useful when they're low.
And let's say you don't need the effect anymore, you can sack it, you draw two cards with Tevish Zot, which is pretty nice. Obviously, this is great in Aristocrats decks. You're making tokens with it, you're also sacrificing them for value.
Yeah, so this can go in the decks of most of the cards we've already talked about, for sure.
Yeah, this is a really powerful Planeswalker as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
IR, the first of Lochthwain, is black, black, black for a legendary elf noble. Whenever it or another black creature enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life and you gain a life. And then Ayara is a deck that a lot of people have built where you just tap it, sack another black creature, draw a card. So Tevish really goes along the same lines of that as well.
Yeah, I like Tevish a lot too, just because it makes the two thralls and is at six loyalty. So it's going to live most of the time, right? It makes two blockers. Even if you just play it out, two blockers, six loyalty, it's going to be hard to get rid of it by the time it's your turn again, which, you know, the way we evaluate a lot of planeswalkers, we're just like, well, you're just going to play it and then it's going to die.
Can they make it back?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're adding green, then you can play Oath of Gideon or Pure Imaginative Rascal. Oath of Gideon is white, but that basically lets Tevish Zot come in with one additional loyalty counter, and then you doubling season it to instantly ultimate. We did it. We broke doubling season.
So adding green does seem good to the deck.
Yeah, green does seem good.
I mean, spoiler alert, adding green to all the decks is going to be pretty good, because if you add the best color to any deck, it's going to be good.
Yeah, this is the, if you're looking for the how do I make Tevish ultimate, then you're playing with the pure Oath of Gideon type cards. And then Skull Clamp obviously is very good, and you can make more thralls if you play Endrixar, and so you can just have a thrall off. Although Endrixar will see the thralls that Tevish Zot makes, so don't make seven or more, and then he'll automatically die. Okay, when it came to partners, Rogue Rock is actually really interesting because you can first cast him for zero, and then Tevish Zot can sacrifice him, and you draw three cards because it's two plus one because it's your commander.
That's like better Ancestral, right? Zero mana, draw three.
And then the next time, Rogue Rock's only going to cost two, so you're going to cast him for two, and then you're going to draw three cards again.
Two mana, draw three, still awesome.
And then next time, again, this is three turns now, you can draw four. Or sorry, you pay four for Rogue Rock and draw another three. So.
But I still play Ambition's Cost in most of my black decks, so...
Yeah, so altogether, that's zero mana, two mana, four mana, that's six mana to draw nine cards.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a little bit magical Christmas land. Dargo also seems really good because Dargo wants to be sacrificing things to get its mana cost reduced. And then I thought if you're going to play red, or if you want to play blue and red, so you can play control magics and threaten effects, because now Tevish Zot can sacrifice them when you steal their cards. So Crown, Ludovic's Opus, like we talked about earlier in this episode.
Yeah, you steal their commander, sack it, draw the extra card.
And then maybe even get to the point where you steal their commander, sack it, and then play it with Tevish Zot's ultimate, because you're proliferated and did a bunch of cool stuff.
Okay, oh yeah, that was... green. That's another reason green's good. Proliferation. Yep.
Anyway, that is Tevish Zot for me in a nutshell. I think this is just a super flexible commander for partner. And if you want to add black to any commander deck, this is like an easy, like, yeah, why not for the partner pairings.
I'd say this is one of the better like partner cards in the whole set.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the last partner commander in black. It's Tormod the Desecrator. Tormod's out of his crypt. It's three and a black for a 4/2 legendary zombie wizard. Whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token. So it's one or more. So what you really want to do is have cards leave your graveyard singly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have that repeatable. Because if you bring them all back at once, you're only going to get one 2/2 tapped black zombie creature token.
So everyone said the same thing when they saw this card, which is Gravecrawler combos. Gravecrawler is black for a 2/1 zombie. It can't be blocked, but it says you may cast Gravecrawler from your graveyard as long as you control a zombie.
Yeah, Gravecrawler can't block because he's crawling.
Can't block, yeah. Is that what I said?
A lot of people can block this thing. Look how slow it's going.
Yeah, if you add a Phyrexian Altar to that, then you're creating the black mana that you need to recast it, and then you're just sacking it to itself to recast it over and over. You make infinite amount of 2/2 tap black zombie creature tokens with Tormod.
Very nice. Shurei Shizo's Caretaker is a legendary 4 in the black 2/2. Whenever a creature with power 1 or less is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, you may return that card to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step if Shurei is still on the battlefield. So that's a way to sack stuff, have it come back onto the next end step, which means you can do this every single turn. Again, even if you didn't have the mana to go off with a Gravecrawler combo, you could just have a 1/1 that you can sack and it'll come back 3 times in the turn cycle and you make 3 2/2s.
Yep. There's a couple of cool cards. Tortured Existence is black for an enchantment. You pay black, discard a creature card, and then return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So if you can ever make infinite black mana, or even just a lot of black mana, you can just be like, cycle these two cards back and forth and make a 2/2 zombie for a black
mana.
Yeah,
because it's whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, so it doesn't need to necessarily have specific ways it does that.
There's Planar Void, which is also black for an enchantment. Whenever another creature is put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile that card. So it will hit the graveyard and then be exiled, which is leaving the graveyard. Okay. So those kind of cards work really, really well.
They're really good against other decks that want to go nuts with their graveyard.
So if you add blue, you get all the self-mill stuff. So Kaidel, Thrasios, Sakashima seems like it'd be good with Tormod just to get double zombies.
Yep.
And then I thought you could also add the sort of shuffle your graveyard into your library cards just to kind of, especially if you're messing around with Planar Void. So you could like self-mill. It's going to exile a bunch of cards. Well, first of all, you got to find it. And then,
yeah.
So there's like Clear the Mind. I'm not going to read them all. Days Undoing, Learn from the Past, Diminishing Returns. Echo of Aeon's a really good one because it has flashback. But these all allow you to shuffle your graveyard into your library. Now, Tormod, you will only give you one zombie when you do that, but just like self-milling a lot, getting into these little combos where you've got, you know, these other Gravecrawler type stuff that you want to do, and then just shuffling it back in and kind of redoing that, I think is a way that Tormod could go, especially if you have Sakshima, you're gonna make a couple of zombies every time you do that.
The customary do it all with flash written down in the outline, which means just you can do it all at flash speed instead, and then you're really going. You want to do flash in this deck because you're making tapped 2/2 black zombies. So any way to do that, and it's like a surprise move before you untap is great.
And you definitely don't want to be like, I did all this stuff. I made 50 zombies.
Past turn.
Yeah, you definitely want to do it on the end step before your turn. Now I untap with them and I attack and win.
Mm-hmm.
Blue also gives you delve, which allows you to delve away, which is exiling cards. Yeah, you get a zombie, right? Because it's multiple cards at a time. I just mentioned while you have blue, you could add Thassa's Oracle as a secondary win con if your self-mill is strong enough. Green also seems like a natural fit because you can get Hermit Druid.
The fastest milling card of all time.
Yeah, because the first step of doing good stuff with Tormod is getting a lot of things in your graveyard because you can't have things leave your graveyard unless there's stuff in there. So Jimmy's favorite, Hermit Druid, you want to read it?
Yeah. One in the green, creature, human, druid, 1/1, you can pay green and tap it. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a basic land card. Put that card into your hand and all other cards revealed this way into your graveyard. So it's like, haha, play 5 basic lands. You will average probably mill anywhere between 15 and 18 cards with a Hermit Druid activation. One basic land, you're milling almost your entire deck probably.
Yeah, if you really want to do it, you play one or maybe 2 basic lands. Then like Ramanak Excavator is a really good one.
Yep.
And Crucible of Worlds, because anytime you're playing a land from your graveyard, that is a card leaving your graveyard.
Oh yeah, that's great. I keep forgetting this, that Tormod just doesn't care how it leaves. It just needs to get out of there.
Green also has a lot of dredge cards. Life from the Loam is a really good one. That is one in a green for a sorcery. Return up to three target land cards from your graveyard to your hand. But also has dredge three. And dredge is if you draw a card, you may mill three cards instead if you do return this card from your graveyard to your hand. So that's a card leaving the graveyard and three cards going in that you can use later to leave the graveyard. So green, once again, seems like a very good pairing.
Yeah, and then if you're actually playing blue, there are some ways to get your cards back into your deck as well. Memory's Journey is one of the... It has flashback with green, so you can shuffle up to three target cards from your graveyard into the library and then flash it back. So you're getting a zombie each time, and maybe you're putting in a special combo piece. Do you think you run the Eldrazi in a deck like this for the ones that...
For shuffle?
Shuffle? It, yeah.
I'm not sure. It depends on if you're running the Thassa's Oracles and you want that Laboratory Maniac-style win con in there. If you are, you don't. And if you're not, then yeah, you probably do. Because anytime Kozilek hits the bend, boom, you shuffle and you get a zombie and it's just kind of free, right? It just depends how much graveyard recursion. Some of these graveyard decks really want a lot of stuff in the graveyard, so they don't want to shuffle, so maybe you don't.
Yeah,
it just depends on the particulars. But yeah, Memory's Journey is great because if you are going hard self-mill, it allows you to save yourself because you mill that into the graveyard and then it's like, okay, put three cards.
Yep.
Because it's got flashback at instant speed.
You can do it again.
You don't,
yeah,
you're like, put Thassa's Oracle and now I can win.
Luris, once more, if you're going white, because again, this is just a card that plays stuff out of your graveyard, and then you could also think about classic Silas Wren as well. Just there are a lot of ways that Tormod can be a helper and sort of like an enabler in that type of deck as well. You can, even if you just play it in the 99 of a card of a deck that's running your sort of, what's it called? The Bat one. Desecrated Tomb.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, white gives you all the recursion too, the brought backs and the things like that. And those are things leaving your graveyard, so it's good. Red actually surprisingly had some stuff where I'm like, you might consider running red as one of your colors. Underworld Breach gives everything escape. Escape's really good because you're exiling cards and then you're casting a card.
So you get two triggers off
it. Yeah, I think you'll get two zombies off of this thing because one's for the paying the casting cost and the other's the card. I think that's two cards leaving.
Enters the stack. I don't think it's all tied to the same thing. We don't know for sure. We're not judges, but
maybe it's one, maybe it's two, but still good either way.
Yeah.
You also get Purphoros and Impact Tremors, so the zombies entering the battlefield can deal damage to each of your opponents, so that when you really do go off, however it is, you can turn that into a win without even attacking. So red is definitely a consideration just on the back of a few cards. So yeah, I think Tormod can be quite powerful. I'm glad they kept it in check with one or more cards leave the graveyard.
Yeah.
That kind of, but there's still a lot of stuff you can do with it. So I think this is going to be fairly powerful because there's not a lot of ways to interact with your opponent leave the graveyard, right? Like,
yeah, they just have to exile your graveyard. But even then, you get at least one trigger off it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Play Graveyard Hate, but you don't want to like Deathrite Shaman them exactly or Scavenging Ooze them. Like, sure, Bog is good, but a lot of the Graveyard Hate that's singular is not that great against Tormod.
He's just going to fill up the graveyard again anyway, so.
Yeah, it's fine. But if they get it really big and then you can exile it, then that could really hose them because they get one zombie and they don't have a lot to play with after that. But,
yeah. But hey, you could also put this into a Aristocrats deck.
Yeah, it's Sir Conrad. Anything with Sir Conrad.
Sir Conrad, right? Yeah. I was like, when are we going to mention Sir Conrad?
Yeah, we almost went a whole episode, but I just saved it for the very end.
Yeah, we still haven't done that. I think Smothering Tithe is up there now with our Prophet of Crucifix list.
Is like, yeah, Prophet of Crucifix.
We
talk
about it so often.
All right, to the listeners, what do you think of the black partners from Commander Legends? Which are you most excited about? Who would you pair it with? What are the synergies, interactions, combos that you see that maybe we missed?
And we do miss a lot, so we love to see it. And I would also say, if you're someone just reading the comments, our comment section on our videos, when they're just talking about combos and stuff, there's so much great stuff there, as well as all across the internet. So we encourage everyone to do their own research as well. There's always going to be some interesting, cool tech or brew that's going to pop up, even after the set review is long over.
Yeah, these set reviews are not sort of meant to be a total comprehensive guide to each of these, right? These are just like little inspirations that Jimmy and I see, which is why they're not fully fleshed out. So hopefully they give you some inspiration. But if you want to give others inspiration, comment in the comment section.
And if you want to keep inspiring others around you and lead by example instead, you should pick up some of the cards that we talked about or ones that are swirling through your brain right now by heading over to cardkingdom.com/command zone. Again, you're going to buy Magic cards anyway, so why not do it in a way that supports our podcast? We would for sure be grateful for it, and it's what helps us keep making content, especially, geez, what looks like 10 episodes for Commander Legends, because there are so many exciting cards in here. So if you see something that sort of piques your interest, even if there's a single or one card, or you want to get a cool new etched foil version of a card, go to cardking.com/commandzone. They're going to hook you up with the best shipping and the best customer service in the biz.
And if you do get that etched foil, that new etched foiling does look pretty sweet.
It does.
You're going to want to put it into a Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeve, because their new Eclipses really do show off the vibrancy of the cards. Foils look great in the new sleeves, and also they are very, very sturdy. They're going to protect your cards like nobody's business. They are the ones that Jimmy and I trust with our own personal collection. So Ultra Pro products are the way to go. Use their playmats, their deck boxes, their relic tokens, and of course their sleeves.
Tons of good stuff out there.
All right, no instep today because we are doing too many episodes, but I do want to give big props to our ever-growing team, which is Manson Lung, Ashlyn Rose, Craig Blanchett, Lady Danger, Jake Boss, Josh Murphy, Alfred Estaca, Patrick Nahn, Sam Waldo, Arthur Meadowcroft, he's one of the new ones, so I don't have that name down, and Jordan Pridgen.
Also a new one.
Yeah.
All right. Special thanks to Jeffrey Ballmer for doing the Living Card animation that live behind us here on set. They also star our show on YouTube. You can find Jeffrey at Living Cards MTG.
All right, everybody.
Whew.
Thanks for watching.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.